Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of One Designer, Two Ideas. I am Pam, your host, and the redesigner here. We come your way each Monday at this 3 o'clock hour through the facilities of blogtalkradio.com. This network is filled with a number of talented hosts presenting a number of shows on different topics. Page through the programming page to find a show, in addition to mine, that may interest you. Well, today's show is part two of last week's show, Curb Appeal and Entryway, Welcome or Get Out. Creating an inviting entryway. We talked last week about curb appeal, how our homes look from the outside. I asked us all to stand on the opposite side of the street and see what others see when they walk, drive, or run past our homes. You know, and I hope you guys did that. I hope you did it and were happy with what you saw and you felt welcome. And if you weren't happy with what you saw and you didn't feel welcome, that you worked to correct it and change it and make it more welcoming for guests, but also for yourself as well. Now, we imagine that our guests have made it past the curb and are now ready to enter the home. One thing that we must realize, that everyone must realize, is not everyone has a grand entry. You know, the two-story entryway fit for kings and queens. Well, many have a door and boom, you're in. So how do we make all entryways, including the two-story and the boom, you're in, entryway warm and welcome? Well, sometimes the entryway, especially those of us with the boom, you're in entryway, you know, the entryways kind of get looked over. Oh, yes, we change the look of the living room or the kitchen or whatever room we enter in or guests enter in. It gets the color, it gets the warmness, but the entryway sometimes is the last to know that change was made. I remember entering my grandmother's house, and I love that house. My grandmother lived in the 8800 block of Lowe in Chicago. She had a double door entry. From the porch, you entered an actual separate space with its own door. That room was nothing special, but in my child mind, I thought it was grand. You were in, but you really weren't. And you always, if ever you opened the door, ever opened my grandmother's door, you always, before you opened the outer door, you closed the inner door. Yes. That is where we removed our wet boots, coats, and before we went into grandma's living room. From there, through the second door, the runner on the carpet directed you to the dining room or anything past the living room because, you know, we just weren't allowed to entertain or sit in the living room. Entertaining in grandma's house, entertaining in my mother's house, entertaining in my father's house was not the living room, anything else but the living room. And you just, the runner just kind of directed you in my grandmother's house. It kind of directed you past the living room into the dining room, leading to the kitchen and the porch, enclosed porch, where a lot of times you would find my grandmother and grandfather sitting there talking and sipping coffee. Okay, so that's where you would find them. Indeed, that house, for many reasons, made an indelible impression on me, not to mention, you know, because it was my grandparents' house, but how it was designed. It's always been, I don't know, it was, you know, as I said, it really wasn't anything that House Beautiful would probably had, posted, but it was cool. It had different, it was an older home, and I loved it, but it made an indelible impression on me, especially the front double door entryway. And it has stayed with me all these years. In my head, I have redesigned that area 100 times. But listen to this, guys. As undesigned as my grandparents' entryway was, it possessed almost everything an entryway should have. A chair to sit because we had to take our boots off. Good light because you had to see who was at the door. A good way, an openness. We had an openness because it was really that room that the front door opened to before you got to the second door. It was actually a room in and of itself. Honestly, it was. It was open. It was enough room for the chair, for the coat rack, and everything. So it was a room in and of itself. But the lighting was good. There was no furniture other than the chair in there, so there was nothing to really impede traffic flow. And lastly, it felt warm. It felt, I guess, I don't know if it felt warm because it was my grandmother's house, but it really felt warm. And, man, you couldn't get your coat off fast enough to go in there, and hopefully she had some pound cake. She made the best pound cake anyway. The chair is for convenience for guests. I think that these are things that, I mean, everything in my grandmother's entryway is influenced my thoughts as a redesigner. So, yes, a chair is for convenience, especially if you want your guests to take their shoes off. That's a good idea. Whether the light is overhead or present in lamps and sconces or the reflection from a mirror, it should be bright, clear, and functional. Be able to see exactly what you need to see in entryway, and that is who's at the door, you know, who's coming in the house, that sort of thing, and leading your guest into the rest of the house. Guests should easily be able to see where they are going. But on another note, we should be able to see the faces, as I said, of everyone at the door, including the uninvited, because there are going to be uninvited. The openness of an entryway is where it is convenient and comfortable to enter. Turning sideways and bending down and walking around furniture, some may feel is not worth the effort to enter. Can you open the door, step aside, and let your guest in? That is openness. As X marks the spot, there should be a clear, marked path as to where guests should go from the door. A lot of times you are not leading them. You're there, you've opened the door, you're standing there, you're talking to them, you're welcoming them, you know, you're welcoming them in, and you're still standing there while they walk past you, you know. So Grandma had a plastic runner, leaving no doubt where to go. Furniture in the area can be a good thing. It can direct. But one should not have to, the furniture should not create an obstacle course. If there is a rug present leading the way, it should be safe, flat, without bunching, and a mat under it for safety. A friend of mine has a sign at their door. They live in an old home, and they have a sign at their door, and it says, it tells you kind of that the house is old and to please step down. Yes. So if you have a step, if someone has to step up or down, that may be something that you include. It's make a cute little sign. It's worth your guests being comfortable and knowing where and what to do once they've entered your home. Listen, guys, we are going to take a short break. I'm going to let you listen to some music for a few moments, and we will be right back. Okay, and we're back. Thank you for coming back, returning with me. Listen, if you guys want to call in and share your ideas and your thoughts about the entryway and how your entryway directs people, give us a call here at 1-347-326-9930. That is 1-347-326-9930. I did not open the chat room today. Yeah, we're still working on that. Okay. But give me a call if you guys want to talk about the entryway or curb appeal or, yes, the subject of today's show. We had been, you know, we had said that, you know, that we were talking about a friend of mine who has a sign that says, actually, you have to step down or step up. And that, you know, because the entryway is where our guests come in, we want them to know and to be comfortable and to, I think every house has little imperfections. Imperfections exist. And at least post an acute sign, lets guests know you are aware that there is an imperfection, and, you know, you want them to be comfortable and careful. That may add charm to the home. If you are renting, we get what we get, and we make the best of it. So maybe the signs are really a way to let guests know what's going on at your humble abode. When assessing your entryway, ask yourself, if this entryway was at another person's house, would it work for you? Would you feel welcome? Would you feel like you can make the adjustments? Is there a mat under the front door? The mat under the front door, what does it say? It says welcome. Do you feel welcome when you walk in? It is incumbent on us, I think, to make sure that anyone entering our home is welcome. You know, there are some that, you know, there are some who come that maybe are not as as welcome as others. But still, I mean, we want them there in our home. We want them to feel like at least we are paying attention to them, and we want them there even if it's just for that 5 minutes. Okay. Outside of the needs that we just mentioned, and we mentioned that my grandmother's entryway, as undesigned as it was, had everything that it needed. It had good light. It had openness. There was a chair because we took our boots and shoes off, and thinking that you guys, if there are some of you who do not want people to wear shoes in your home, I think having a chair near the entryway is a good thing. So they don't have to stand and lean against the wall. I think it's just something good. So outside of the needs that I just mentioned, creating an inviting entryway is very individual. There is no one size fits all. From the two-story entryway to the boom you're in, like mine, there are so many designs to choose from. Be sure to choose the one that best fits your space. Here are some thoughts and things that I recommend that are not at or at least visible at our entry points, because most of us enter through the back door or garage door, but there are some of us with entries and we enter through our front door. Here are some ideas. Number one, purses, wallets, and keys should not be visible by the door. If these things have to be there, get a table that is narrow or small enough to fit, and keep keys, wallets, and etc. in a drawer or in a basket. Now, you know, we talked about furniture impeding the traffic flow for people getting in. We don't want that sort of table. There are some that I did see an article the other day talking about a table in the middle right as you walk in the door. And, you know, as long as it's something about a round table, because in our minds, we can walk around the floor. I think a square table actually is like a stop sign. It just stops. If you have this sort of room in your entryway and then you want a table, a small round table, or the slim table that you can push against the wall, I think that's a good idea. If it has drawers, then you can use the drawers. If this is your only entryway, you can use the drawers for your keys, for your purses, your wallets, certain personal things that should not be visible to people that don't live in the home. Okay, number two, family pictures should not be present. I've seen entryways where there's a table there, beautiful table, beautiful lamp, beautiful sconces, beautiful mirror, and then their pictures, family pictures at the door. I don't recommend that. If that's what you want to do, I would turn them in so that no one actually standing at the door could actually see the picture. But I really recommend not having family pictures at the door. I know a number of people put framed school pictures on tables near the door, but I suggest no. See, not everyone that comes to the door is a guest. Keep in mind, there will probably be some uninvited coming in, so or standing at the door. So don't give information that's not needed. Number three, family decals, family tree decals. I don't think they're becoming real popular, but I don't recommend them at the door either, because most of them have names on them. I'm thinking I don't recommend that. I'll just leave it at that. If you want to do that, that's fine. Just let it. I don't recommend that. Number four, if possible, include a barrier between the door and the rest of the house. See, that was the one thing I loved about my grandmother's double entry, is that there was a barrier. And a lot, boom, you're in. Entryways don't have that. But they can be created. You don't have to have a floor-to-ceiling bookcase, but a lattice painted with flowers through it, a thin bookcase that sits to the other side, of the entry of the door, that could work. It's not a clear view into your home, so I honestly think that's a good idea. Number five, look before opening the door. Yes. Some front doors do not have peepholes, but looking out a side window or finding a way to see who is standing on the stoop, as my mom called it, is a good thing. There are systems out there to help with seeing who is on the other side of the door. One visit to the home store, you'll see what is all available out there. Even if you rent, it may be worth the money spent to install a peephole. Talk to your landlord about it. That addition increases safety, and he or she may be interested in assisting with that. If your landlord is not, it's a sign that you care about your own safety. So you got to do what you got to do. You want to add a peephole, but keep in mind, it's working for your safety while you're there, but you may not get the money back that you spent installing it. And, but some upgrades are worth it. I don't think there's any price for safety. My grandmother's two-door system offered a level of privacy and screening, a sort of entry that is unmatched in today's homes. You can create a functional entryway with items already in the house, because, we here at One Designer, Two Ideas, we believe in redesigning. We take things that's already in the house that are underused or not being used, stored behind things, under things, and we recreate them and make them functional pieces in most or all interior redesign projects. So you can create a functional entryway with items already in the house. Little money, but a lot of effort and some great ideas. How about using that mirror in the basement, that's not being used, that's leaning against the wall, that maybe Aunt Susie gave you and you don't like it? Let me tell you what you can do with that mirror. You can change the outer edges of it. The frame of the mirror can be painted. If it's wood, it can be painted. If it's not wood, it can be restored. Whatever it is, it can be restored. You know what? Going to Home Depot or Joann Fabrics or Michaels or Hobby Lobby is a great place to start that the motor churning in your head and creating all the things that you just don't know. I spend a lot of time, and that is what redesign is. It's actually taking something that is underused and recreating it to be something that can be used in your design project. Okay. So we talked about the mirror in the basement. What about that slim table on the side of the couch that's just there? There's some that have end tables that don't use them. Yeah, think about that. An end table not being used. Wow. I'm telling you. What about that rug? Oh, that rug. Yeah, I know. Everybody has had or have that rug. Oh, my goodness, I don't want that rug. It's not. But think about it in another way. What about if it was surrounded by colors that are in it? What about that? Think about how you can redesign using that rug in your entryway area. And, you know, right, that sounds good to me. But don't, hey, don't forget putting a pad under it, because we don't want the guests to slip. We don't want to slip. The lamp that sits behind the couch that no one uses. I had a friend tell me about that. She has lamps, and they only use, these lamps stay behind a couch, and they only use them if they need extra light in the room. Those lamps, wouldn't they be just the light to put in the entryway? Change the bottom, change the shade. Oh, I'm seeing so many projects here. That would just be fantastic. Walk through your house and see what is not being used. What's in the basement? What's in the garage? If you have a storage unit, what's in the storage unit? Why is all of that stuff still in the storage unit and not being used? You're paying for the storage unit every month. Is there anything at all in that storage unit that can be used in any redesign project in your home? We're creating this entryway. Think about it. Yeah, think about it. Creating a functional visual barrier at the front door. Now that only takes a trip to Michael's or Joanne's. And you, as my friend Kelly says, let's make it happen. Let's create it. Let's make it happen. Let's get a pencil and pad. Let's think about it. We can create an adorable, welcoming, warm entryway with things that we already have. Connect with something outside. It says welcome outside of the door. The welcome mat is on the outside of the door. So there should be something that on the porch, on the outside of the house, that continues in our entryway. So it's this continuation, and we'll continue this on the other side of a short break. Hey everyone, and we're back. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I have a friend named Kathy. I wanted to tell you this story. She had at her door, she has a two-story entry, and at her door she has a wood three-shelf little bookcase, but it is always something that connects with the outside, even if it's, you know, even if it's weather related, whatever holiday is in the month, she always has something that connects with the outside that she's put out there to celebrate it. Or if she is I have a lot of friends who celebrate celebrate holidays different ways. But Kathy is my friend who she loves to celebrate any holiday. So that's in the month. Now, I was at her house last week, and we already have Halloween stuff. She just, and sometimes I often ask her, where do you find these things? You know, she had like apples in a little wood box. It was just crepe. That's what it is. Crepe. When I was a kid, and we would go visit my aunt T. She never had, it was like, it was so many of us in this family. This is, my grandmother has eight children, and all, seven of her eight children have children. And I think that only one has one child. So we are a very large family. And so when you go over to people's homes and, you know, everyone's anxious to host Thanksgiving, we'd all go. And sometimes we didn't always have a place to sit. But there were these crates. My uncle had these crates. And it was so much fun sitting on a crate. You're rocking back and forth and you fall. And, you know, your mom gives you that cross-eyed look like, stop, you know. But it was so... when we were kids, it was just so much fun. And anyway, moving forward to Kathy's entryway, this is a miniature crate that she has, and she filled, it's brown as wood, and she filled it with apples. And on the front of this crate, it has you know, like the manufacturer of the grower of the apples, and there are pictures of apples. I just thought that was so neat. So you can connect your entryway in many ways. I like, and I say connection with the outside, and I said that before we went on break, is that because the mat is outside that says welcome, our guests should feel welcome. We should feel welcome even in our own homes once we enter the door, because the mat says welcome, right? Yes, it does. So we want to continue that through the process of someone coming in our home. So I like the idea of connecting something outside in the entryway. So I think that we have a basis for our entryways. We talked about the lighting. We talked about the seating. We talked about the traffic flow. We talked about the feeling that the entryway has. We've talked about entryway safety. And I'm not, you know, another thing I wanted to say was that if you guys are, you know, you come in the door and you put your keys down on the table, that's good. But I think that maybe getting in the habit of putting them in the drawer, or in Kathy's case, the crate, or just continuing through the house to your bedroom or to the inner sanctum of the house. And find, maybe put your keys down there. I never know where my keys are, so it doesn't matter. I lay them down on the kitchen table, on the dresser, I'm telling you, near the television. They're all, I mean, when the kids were little, it was funny. We always played Find Mom's Keys. Yes, it was a fun game. So it got old, but it was a fun game. So maybe taking your keys and your purse and your wallets and stuff to your room or to the inner sanctum of the home is a good idea as well, if your entryway is not big enough to house even a slim table. Just some thoughts on being safe. We also talked about creating a lattice, and lattice is just so easy to create anything that you want. And Menards and Home Depot and Lowe's, they can actually cut pieces of lattice for you. They probably have them at Michael's as well, in smaller pieces. What you want to do is just block, not make it so visible to see through the home. That's a safety thing. And the peephole is also something, you know, that you probably discuss with your landlord if you're renting. I would think that most homes already have a peephole or a way to look on the other side of the door. None of us have X-ray vision, you know, not Superman. But Lowe's and Home Depot, Menards, True Value, and Ace Hardware, they have ways, and, you know, there are systems out there that help us to know who is on the other side of our door. As I said earlier in the show, everybody, there is the uninvited. Sometimes they're not welcome, and we want to make sure that anyone that, you know, is not welcome feels it, you know. Yeah, not you know, but we want to be safe. So I'm hoping that both these shows, the show I presented last week about curb appeal, making the home look presentable, on the outside as well as the inside, not just to us, not just to the neighbors, but to us because it's where we live, and we want to make it welcome. I hope those tips that I gave are helpful, more helpful. These that I gave today on the entryway, the rugs, the furniture, the way in which to make it welcome, the colors and everything, including it in the area that it's, you know, making it a part of the room that it's in, making it also bringing in the connection from outside because, well, the mat is outside under the door and it says welcome. So we want to continue that throughout the entryway and into our homes. I hope that these shows have been helpful. If you have any questions or you want to add your comment to this show, feel free to visit us at the One Designer, Two Ideas Facebook page, and that is /OneDesignerTwoIdeas. That is www.facebook.com/OneDesignerTwoIdeas. I hope this show, as I said earlier, was informative and has you on the road to creating a warm and inviting entryway. Be sure to visit the Facebook page if you have any ideas you want to share your ideas with us. We have a number, and I want to tell you, we have a number of great shows coming up. Make sure you join us every night the first week of October because it is National Fire Safety Prevention Week. We will be discussing every night. Every night I will hopefully give you a safety tip. This will be at 10 o'clock next week, starting Sunday, October 4th through Saturday, October 10th, when you will hear a fire safety tip. The show next Monday on the 5th is going to be all about safety, fire safety, and we will be hearing a lot from those on the front line. If you are interested in learning more, please call your local fire department on their non-emergency number to learn about any activities that they are sponsoring to celebrate and highlight National Fire Safety Week. Also, you can visit the National Fire Protection Association, who is the one that sponsors these sort of events. You can visit them at their site at www.nfpa.org. That is the National Fire Protection Association. As a reporter for 7 years, I learned up close and personal that fire ain't no joke. That's not proper English, but that gets the point across. Fire ain't no joke. Listen next week from those who fight fires, who help and keep us safe, and how they want us to help ourselves, and in turn, we help them. And I will also tell you about my own fire story. Nope, this is not a story from the newspaper. This is a personal encounter with fire and its after effects. You will hear that next week. It was not a fire that we were responsible for, but we were involved in. We lived in a 4-unit building when my kids were little, and one of our neighbors had some issues with fire and a cigarette lighter. And she knocked on the door. She had she had the mind. She had tried to put the fire out herself. She couldn't get it out. So as she was leaving out of their apartment and dialing 911, she knocked on our door. And in turn, we knocked on the other two neighbors' doors to let them know that there was a reason to be outside. The fire department responded as they usually do, in good fashion, and they brought the fire under control, but not before my neighbor's apartment experienced heavy fire damage, and the apartment was deemed unlivable. But we will talk about that next week and how it affected us and how my feelings about fire. Of course, I spent 7 years following the fire department and police around as a reporter for our local newspaper, but I think it's different when when you are in it, when you are experiencing it. So we'll talk about that all next week. As I said, contact your area fire department and see if they have any activities that that are, you know, will coincide with National Fire Prevention Week, and see what they say. And we will be talking about everything fire all next week, beginning Sunday, at Sunday, October 4th through Saturday, October 10th. Again, as I said, 10 o'clock every night will be a tip, a safety tip. And it will be from me or a member of a fire department that would like to speak on behalf. So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. I hope that, as I said earlier, I hope the show was informative. We will be back here on Thursday at 10 p.m. with a One Designer, Two Ideas Decor short and preview show. Then, next Monday, which is October 5th, we will be talking. The show will, in its entirety, will be dedicated to National Fire Prevention Week. So join me here at 3 o'clock next Monday. Listen, please, for the tip that will be presented on October 4th, which is Sunday, and every night at 10 o'clock after that. The show next week will be at its regular time, which is at 3 o'clock. So this has been Pam of One Designer, Two Ideas, where we love redesign. We rethink, we revolve, we recreate as much as we can to create a new look and design in our homes so we can love and appreciate them. As I said, this is Pam of One Designer, Two Ideas. I will see you on Thursday. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Good day, y'all.